Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's time for RTWFC Bible Talk with Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and his wife, Betty Yearwood. For the next 2 hours, join in with us in this Internet Radio Bible Discussion program. There'll be a special singing and call in and discuss the Bible with us. And now here's your host, Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood, live in Madisonville, Tennessee.
Able to come back into your home, just reaching the world for Christ again. And this is Evangelist Lloyd Yearwood and Betty Yearwood, and we're just very thankful to have each and every one of you to call in and be in here with us. So if you'd like to be a part of this service, why, call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you on here with
us. Praise the Lord.
So, just go ahead and call in on 310-742-1759, and we'll put you on the line with us. Praise God. So 706-975, come here and tell us who you are and where you're at there. We've got a few call-ins. We'll get you all on, find out who you are.
Brother,
hey,
you
Brother Littlewood, this is Brother Tony from down here in Dalton, Georgia. Called in today, and remember my co-worker today, her name is Tasia Bruce. She's got a prayer request, unspoken prayer request. Lord knows all about it. But I'd love to say it's good to be here on the broadcast with y'all tonight. It's good to be able to call in and give y'all testimony. I love to say I love the Lord tonight, and He's good. He's been good to us. And Brother Yearwood brought forth a good message Sunday night at Varnell Full Gospel. He's a wonderful evangelist right there, and a wonderful wonderful message he brought forth there for us. But I just looked on Facebook and got the number from for the broadcast, and I seen the topic tonight, and we're talking about miracles. So I was trying to find the scripture. I know it's going to be 2 Kings, around the first few chapters in there, probably around the 3 or 4 chapters, and we're about to head up to a church tonight, so y'all keep us in prayer that we do God's will. And I want to talk here about Elijah. Elijah was a great man of God, was a great prophet, and like I said, I'm sorry I can't give you scripture, but I know it's around. It's in 2 Kings, around the first few chapters there. But Elijah was a great prophet of God. Elijah was also traveled a lot. And there was a woman's house where Elijah would go by about every day, about every so often, not every day, but every so often he would go by there, and she would feed him and the man with him, and they begin to give him a place to stay. And Elijah prophesied to this woman, and told this woman, said, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And this woman, she was old, and her and her husband had been wanting a child, and it hadn't happened yet. And the woman told Elijah, she said, Elijah, don't lie to me. You're a man of God. And Elijah said, woman, you're going to see, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. And every time I read this scripture, Brother Lil Earwood, I remember a message you brought here a few months ago at our church that said this time tomorrow.
Amen.
And I don't know who this is for, but I've seen the topic. I was going to go with something else. I had a scripture already in mind, but I seen the topic tonight, and I thought, wow, this would be perfect. But like I said, just didn't have but probably about 2 or 3 minutes before I called in, and but Elijah told the woman, this time next year, you're going to have a baby. Now, I want to let you know something, that God's about to do something in your life. Whoever's
Amen.
Listening, that God's about to do something in your life. You might not be wanting a child, but you might be wanting your finances paid, or you might be wanting to see somebody set free, or you might need whatever miracle it is in your life. But I got to tell you one thing. Elijah told this woman, you're going to have a baby this time next year. And at first, this woman said, Elijah, don't lie to me. And I want you to know tonight that God never makes a lie. That God never tells us a lie, but he always makes promises. And every promise that God keeps, he always holds to it. And I tell you tonight that God is not a failing God. God is not a God that breaks his promises. But if we just hold on to the promises of God, if we hold fast to his word, and we hold on to the word of God, and cling to the promises of God, He'll take us, and he'll mold us, and he'll make us, and he'll give us that promise that he told us he would give us. Amen. But the woman told Elijah, said, Elijah, don't lie to me. She didn't prepare herself for what the prophets told her, what the prophet had told her. I want you to know, not church, that God's about to do something in your life. And you need to get ready for what the prophet's been telling you. Maybe you've been going to church, whoever's listening to this broadcast, maybe you've been going to church, and somebody's been giving you a prophecy, somebody's been telling you something. I don't know, only you and God know. But I want to tell you tonight, get ready for what the prophet tells you. Prepare yourself for what the prophet is telling you. Prepare yourself for what God is telling you. Prepare yourself for what the dreams have been telling you. Prepare yourself for what the vision, what God has been showing you in the visions, and see it come to pass. Just like Elijah told this woman, you're going to have a baby this time next year. And he told her to get ready. Get ready because the blessing's coming your way. So now you need to get ready. Get sincere with God. Stop praying. Start fasting. Start getting in the word of God. And begin to receive that blessing that God has given you. Begin to accept it. Even if it's not even a thought. Even if you can't reach out and grab it just yet. You need to accept God for what he said he would do. You need to accept his promises. You know, Abraham, God told Abraham that his seed would be so much that you couldn't even count them. His family would multiply more than the sand on the sea, amen. And Elijah and Lot, they decided to go their separate ways in the book of Genesis. They decided to go their separate ways. And Abraham and Lot decided to go their separate ways. And Abraham told Lot, he said, Lot, you choose whatever way you want to go, and you take it, and I'll take whatever. And Lot saw the big city, and saw the great lights and everything there. And said, Abraham, I'll take this one. And Abraham was left with a land that didn't have nothing there. It didn't have no soil, and didn't have no plants, and it had no city, nothing there. And the Bible says that Abraham walked around the land and began to proclaim the promises of God, began to accept the promises of God. So not church, I want you to know not a lot, but Abraham looked at that land and said, God, there's nothing here, but you said that you would multiply my seed. You said that you would give me those promises. You made those promises to me, and I accept those promises. And in the name of Jesus, church, you got to believe in the name of Jesus, your promise is going to come. In the name of Jesus, your promise shall be fulfilled. You got to cling to the promises. Don't walk away from the promise of God. Don't walk away from what God has told you. But hold on. Even like I said, even if it looks like it ain't even inside, and you can't reach out and touch it, God made a promise that he would come through. God made a promise that he would follow through. So now it's our job to get a hold of God, to get a hold of the gospel, and hold on to Jesus Christ, and follow through on our part. Follow through with what we told God we would do. You know, church, I don't know how many out there are saved, but I believe when we give our hearts to God, we made a promise to him that we would honor him with the rest of our life. When we truly gave our hearts to God, we made a promise to him. And God made a promise to us that he would take care of us. God made a promise to us. But I believe God wants to know tonight how many of us are holding on to our promise or keeping our end of the promise that we shall see miracles. How many of us are holding on to our promise that we shall see healings? How many of us are holding on to our promises that we shall see blessings? You know, tonight's subject is on miracles. I believe tonight if you want a miracle, you've got to prepare yourself for the miracle. Speak as it's already happened. Act like it's already come to you. We've got to claim it, and we've got to believe it in the name of Jesus that it's going to be, that it's coming, that it's on the way. But if we forget and we walk away from the promises, then it's not going to be fulfilled. But God said if we stick with him and we cling to the word of God, we cling to the promise, that he will fulfill every promise. Church, God is not a promise breaker. God is not a promise breaker, but he's a promise keeper. Tonight, how many of us tonight are promise keepers? How many tonight are keeping our promise to God that we will believe in him, that we will trust in him, and we'll see those miracles? Even when they aren't in sight, by faith we'll see those miracles. Even when we can't touch them, by faith we'll touch those miracles. Even when we can't feel them, by faith we will feel those miracles. You've got to get into the word of God and know that God's there. I want to say I love the Lord tonight, and I pray that this testimony right here, a message, whatever you want, like to call it, I pray that it'll help somebody out, and I pray that that somebody would get into the word of God and just hold on to their promise. Prepare yourself for the miracles. Prepare yourself what the prophets have been saying to you. Prepare yourself what God has been showing you in a dream. Prepare yourself what God has been showing you in a vision. And get a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Get a hold of his grace. Get a hold of his love. Get a hold of his anointing and see where God will take you. I don't know if you're struggling financially tonight. I don't know if you're struggling physically tonight. Maybe you've got a sickness or anything. I don't know if you've got a burden on your heart for one of your love members that are lost and you want to see them saved, church. Just hold on to the promise of God that even when it looks like nothing's there, that God is still sending blessings and miracles are about to pour out upon your life as long as you believe and as long as you cling to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I like to say I love the Lord tonight. And I appreciate the Yearwood family for giving me the opportunity to bring forth the word on this broadcast. I love y'all, and just keep us in your prayer. Keep us down here at Barn Hill Full Gospel in your prayers that we'll continue to do God's will, and that we'll see some souls get saved coming up, and just continue to pray for us. We're praying for y'all, and anybody out there feel like saying this. Anybody out there that's feeling unloved right now, I just want to let you know that the Lord loves you, and we love you, and we love you. And if we may not understand what the situation is, but God does, and I guarantee you, if you hold on, God will send those miracles. Just hold on to the promises. Appreciate you, Brother Yearwood. Go ahead, and I'll go ahead and turn it over to you.
Okay, appreciate you there, Brother Tony. 706-975, come in and tell us who you are.
Brother Yearwood, it's Frieda Litchfield from Thomaston, Georgia. How you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm blessed. Praise the Lord.
I am too.
Glad to hear you in there. Let me get these other couple in here, then we'll get you back in there to obey the Lord.
Okay.
423, go in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
This is Eddie Bolton from Jacksboro, Tennessee.
Praise the Lord, Brother Eddie. Glad you called
in.
How
are you, Brother Yearwood?
Oh, I'm blessed. How are you?
Amen. I'm blessed, brother.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
770, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Oh, this is John, Brother Yearwood, from Thompson, Georgia.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Glad you called in there, Brother John. I want to give a little update here on our radio broadcast. 2 weeks ago, we had 74,083. Last week, we had 74,590. And this service, we've got 74,871 listeners tonight are listening to us. So.
Praise
God for that. We're climbing up every week. So just giving God the praise and the glory for that. And then, of course, with the ones that the Brother and Sister Green's got on here, I don't have them figures right in front of me, but I know it's way over a million. So we'll just praise God for that. Praise the Lord. So, Sister Frieda?
Yes, sir?
Go ahead and obey the Lord there.
Okay, the topic is miracles, and so I'm going to read a few verses in John. So I'm going to start with John 2 and 11. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Canaan of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. And the next one's going to be John 4:54. This is, again, the second miracle that Jesus did when he was called, was come out of Galilee into, out of Judea into Galilee. And then John 10:41. And many resorted unto him and said, John did not miracles, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And what Brother Tony was talking about earlier, we had a wonderful service last Sunday, and I think he was talking, Brother John, what he was telling me and what Brother Tony was saying, I think it's me. Something's going to happen the next year, and I think the Lord is working on me and telling me what to do, and I'm just waiting on what he wants me to do and where to go.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Just praise God for that. Just hang in there. He's always, whatever God tells you, he'll always keep his promise.
Amen.
That's right. Praise. Amen. Can I give a prayer request before you let me go?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Sister Robin, one of the members at the church, we need to keep her in prayer. She called me this morning, and she's been off of her blood pressure medicine. It's been making her sweat. So let's keep her in prayer and Sister Debbie in prayer tonight, too, okay?
Okay. We sure will. Praise the Lord. Brother Eddie, I think you and Brother John both called in just about the same time, so whichever one of you want to go ahead, well, just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Let Brother John go ahead there, brother.
Okay. Brother John?
Praise the Lord tonight. I thank the Lord for the opportunity tonight. And tonight what I'm speaking on is out of the beginning of it, is out of Mark chapter 6. I'm speaking on consider not the miracles. Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 30. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. Well, there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. In other words, what had happened is, as they were coming and they were counseling, and as they were praying and as they were ministering to others, you come to a place, amen, that people were coming in. The crowd was thronging them and thronging the Lord Jesus Christ, and they didn't even have time to eat. They had not time to even rest. But the Bible says he had told them to come ye yourselves apart into a desert place. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 78, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And as he was coming, the Bible speaks also by the prophet Isaiah. He said, come ye out, ye serpent, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. There was a time, amen, that the disciples needed to come and just come apart into a private place, just come into a desert place, hallelujah, and just come into that separation. You know, the Bible says, he said, and rest a while. You know, we need to come into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of rest. He is the Lord of Sabbath. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, tonight you have to come into the Lord Jesus Christ to receive that rest. I'm not talking about sleep. I'm talking about a spiritual rest. Wherein the weary is to rest. The Bible speaks of Isaiah 28. He says, come in, you have to come into him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. There's a time of learning of the Lord Jesus Christ and learning of his rest. Even when, no matter where we're at, these people were involved. These disciples were involved. People were coming in and out of their lives. They were counseling. They were ministering. So much of a crowd that they didn't even have time to eat. They didn't even have the leisure time to eat anything. And the Bible says, he says, and learn of me. He had talked about, amen, the disciples talked about what they had taught, what they had spoken. He said, Ryan, meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
your very light tonight. Church tonight, we need to find the very rest of our souls. And he said, come ye apart. Separate yourselves and come into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews, where they did not, amen, that they would have come. That's what the promised land, that the land of promise, the places of rest, that's what it represented, that you would come. But you had to first mix the word of God. The Israelites, when they first came in there, they didn't begin to mix the word, amen, and with faith and come into that rest that they need to come into. And the Bible says, in verse 30, says, where my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So the yoke that we have learned from him is easy. It's not something that would bear us down, something that would weigh us down. And the Bible says, amen, going back there, hallelujah, amen, that the Bible says that they gathered themselves, amen, together with Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 18, hallelujah, verse 18, it says, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is talking about the authority and power of the Lord Jesus Christ coming together, and the authority and power of the church coming together. For you've been given under the and those of that have the revelation and in the kingdom. You've been given the keys to the kingdom, and whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This is the authority of the church. It speaks about it again in Matthew chapter 16, but we find it in Matthew 18, 19, he said, again, I say to you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we have a promise tonight as we come together in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he is in our midst, amen. And we know tonight, amen, that the Lord Jesus Christ is in our midst, that we have come together. Many have come together in his name to hear, amen, the authority and power. Many of us have come together to whatsoever we bind together on earth tonight shall be bound, or whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever we release or loosen in the earth tonight, amen. What are we loosing? What are we releasing, amen, into lives? What are we releasing into the heaven? What are we binding in heaven? What are we binding on the earth? What are we doing with the authority of the Word of God, amen. And the Bible says, going back there to Mark chapter 6, hallelujah, verse 32, and they departed into a desert place by ship privately. In other words, they had come, and, amen, and they had gotten together and along with Jesus Christ. But the Bible says in verse 33, and the people saw them departing, and many knew them, amen, hallelujah, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together with them. In other words, as they went on foot, even though the disciples got on a ship and went to a desert place and a private place, the men and women, amen, went before them and ran and outwent them. They got there before they got there. Hallelujah. And they were waiting there for them. And Jesus, when he came out, and many of you are waiting for Jesus. You've come to a place privately, amen. And amen, even though there's so many thousands of people listening tonight, you've gotten to a place where privately with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got along, amen, before the face of God. Hallelujah. As the Bible says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. So here comes the multitude in that desert private place. He began to see them, and he began to have compassion upon them, because when he looked upon them, these were people who were sheep, having no shepherd, having no leader, having no guide, having no one to rule over them, having no one to teach them, having no one to instruct them. Hallelujah. And when the days were now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. In other words, they come to Christ and said, Lord, you need to know the day is far spent. You need to know tonight, church, that the day is far spent. Our salvation is at hand. Amen. It's a time for miracles, a time of working in the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible says, amen, and now time is far past. He said, the disciples begin to speak to Jesus and tell him to send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they had nothing to eat. Here they were in a desert place. Here they were in a private place. It was getting on, amen, and the day was far spent, amen, they had nothing to eat. And they come, amen, and the Bible says, hallelujah, the disciples counseled with to send them away. But Jesus said in verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. and they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Shall we go, amen, hallelujah, shall we go and purchase, amen, that which we don't have? But the Bible says in verse 38, he said to them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. They had 7 things, articles all together. They had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The number 7 is the number of perfection and completion. Amen. It was more than enough. Hallelujah. He said, how many loaves do you? And I'm going to ask you something tonight, church. How many loaves do you have? How many bread of life do you have tonight? How many fishes of life, amen, that will bring forth? How many things do you have? Amen. You need to know when Jesus is there, you have more than enough. For he has made us more than conquerors.
Man.
Hallelujah. Through Christ Jesus. You need to know that whenever Jesus is there, they begin to believe. They couldn't believe that he would furnish a table in their wilderness. The disciples come and said, send them away because there's not enough. But church, you need to know tonight that when you're in a desert place privately, when Jesus is there, you have more than enough. When Jesus is upon the scene, because he is the miracle man. And tonight we need to find out. And when they knew, they said 5 and 2 fishes. Verse 39. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. You need to know tonight that, amen, the Bible says, the Lord is our shepherd. Hallelujah. We shall not want. He makes us. Oh, he made them, amen, to lay in green pastures. They were there in the grass, in the midst of the desert, in the midst of desolation. But the shepherd, oh, hallelujah, the Lord shepherd, amen, made them to sit down before they sit at the feet of Jesus, just like Mary had chose the better part. Hallelujah. Amen. Before the sword. And he made them to sit down in companies. Hallelujah. They sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when they had taken the five, when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and break the loaves and gave them to his disciples to sit before them, and the 2 fishes divide he among them all. You know what? He is the master fisherman. He is the bread of life. Hallelujah. We'll get on that in just a moment. But he took those 5 loaves. You need to know tonight that the Lord knows how to divide portions. The Bible says in Nehemiah 8 and 10, eat the fat, drink the sweet, amen, and send portions to them that nothing's prepared. Here was the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to know tonight that the Lord was with them, and the Lord knew exactly how to divide and break that bread, amen, that it fed the multitudes. You need to know that he took those 2 fish and knew exactly how to cut them up, hallelujah, and bring it out, amen, and feed the multitude, hallelujah. And the Bible said, and they did all eat and were filled. Not only did they eat, but they were filled, and they took 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. They counted as about 5,000 men. Several thousand men were there, besides, in the other scriptures it talks about, besides women and children. In other words, we don't know. Just like tonight, the Bible says in Revelation, no man knows the number. We know that we've got 74,681 or whatever it is tonight, at least listening. And, you know, when they tell us in the average of the survey that there's at least 3 listeners in each listening point. If that's true, then we got over 220-some thousand people listening to this program. But you need to know tonight that I've only got 1 loaf of bread tonight, and we're feeding
amen.
The multitudes and multitudes. It is the bread of life. The Bible says in John chapter 6, hallelujah, hallelujah. In chapter 6, in verse 26, and Jesus answered them and said, hallelujah, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Many, amen, are looking, amen, for a present day, a momentary miracle. Amen. They're just hungry. You're just hungry. But the Bible says in Matthew 5, hallelujah, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Tonight, if you come and you tune in tonight to hear of the righteousness, there's a guarantee in God's word that you will be filled. Amen. Every one of you be filled. And the Bible says not only will you be filled tonight, but I believe that there'll be fragments.
Amen.
And fragments of the word of God and the bread of life for you to gather after this service tonight to take for those who have nothing prepared. You need to know tonight that the bread of life, that this 1 loaf of life tonight, hallelujah, and the Bible says, labor not for the meat which perish, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. God the Father has sealed the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, amen, many of you might be naturally hungry. You have to understand that these disciples didn't have a chance to eat. And they come to the realization. But in this scripture here in John chapter 6, this is the same account that's over there in Mark chapter 6. But you have to understand, only one lad brought these meals. In other words, they were all out in the desert. Amen. I'm glad tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is a God of provision. The Bible says in Genesis 22 that Abraham made an altar and called that altar Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord who will see to our provision. He provided one ram in a booth, and he provided the bread of life for this multitude. And tonight, he's that same God. For the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, that same Lord and God who blessed the bread and fed the multitude is the same one that's feeding the multitude tonight. But in that time, they didn't regard the miracles. At the time, they went out on a boat. Amen. And the only thing they remembered, the winds begin to blow and the storms begin to rise up. Amen. And at that time, the Bible says they had hardened their heart and they did not regard the miracles. How many of you have been through a miracle and didn't regard it? They didn't regard that this was a miracle. It went by, amen, as he fed the multitudes with five fishes and two loaves. No one regarded the miracle of the multitude. We've been on this broadcast for weeks between Brother and Sister Yearwood's broadcast and Brother and Sister Green's broadcast on Friday night. We've been reaching out over 114,000 people in a week, and we've been feeding them with one loaf of life. Amen. Hallelujah. And you need to know that we're feeding the multitudes. The Lord Jesus Christ is blessing us. The word of God is being broken, amen, even before you tonight. Then setting unto them, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And there in John chapter 6, verse 20, Jesus answered and said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Tonight, church, you just need to believe on Jesus Christ. This is the work of the Father. This is the work of God, that you believe on the Son. This is the works of God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And I already said that, going down to verse 30. Then said they therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? What do you work? In other words, all right, this is the work that you mean. What work are you doing? What work are you doing tonight, Jesus? And he said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. It didn't come from man. The bread that's brought across this globe, this bread didn't come from man. This bread that we're speaking about tonight came from heaven, came from the Father. But my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. Tonight you're getting bread from heaven. In the time, amen, when the children of Israel were going across the wilderness, every morning a white frost come, and then when the frost raised up, there was manna, what was called manna. It had a coriander seed, and each day they were divinely fed. But they began to say, you know what, we love this light bread. We don't like this provision that you're providing for us in the winter. We don't like, you know, this is getting a little old. We'd like to have some meat. We'd like to have some, we'd like to change the menu. Church tonight, you need to know something. You can't change the menu of God. You can't change Amen. The bread of God. You can't change the recipe. You can't change because the Pharisees tried to. The Bible says a little bit and leaving the whole lot. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and many tried to put different things in the bread, try to add ingredients to it or take away ingredients. You need to know tonight that this bread was made in heaven. This bread came down from heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven. That's talking about Jesus and give life unto the world. You need to know tonight that the bread of life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight, and you're not to labor for the meat to perish, but that which is the everlasting life. The only way tonight that you can have everlasting life is to receive the bread of life, and that bread of life is Jesus Christ. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us the bread, this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he had believed in each other. It says, when you come to him, just like they came to him, when you come to Jesus, it's that simple. Just come to Jesus tonight. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you come to him, you're coming to the bread of life. As you eat of him, as you partake of him. Coming to him, the Bible says you, he that thirsts, you'll never thirst again. But I said that he has also seen me and believed not. There were those, amen, that seen the Lord Jesus Christ and didn't believe him. Doubting Thomas, amen, at the time there in John chapter 20, he said, except I see the prince in thy hand and thrust my hand in the side, I shall not believe. But when Jesus appeared unto him, he had already appeared to the disciples twice before Thomas ever seen him. But when he appeared unto him, clothed, he said, you come to me. What happened? He said, Thomas, brethren, those have not seen and believed. What did he tell him? He said, Thomas, behold my hands. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. This was the bread of life that we give life. He said, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I shall no wise cast out. He that comes to the bread of life, right, came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all that which he has given me, I should lose something, that should raise it up again at the last day. Just tonight, if you're eating of this bread of life, even if you are sleeping Jesus, he will raise you up. If you have this bread of life, he will give you everlasting life. And he will raise you up in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of the Father, church.
Amen.
And the Bible says, giving you a few more scriptures, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, on the night that the Lord was betrayed, on what was called, what people called the Lord's Supper. First Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians says, I received the Lord, which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, took bread. How many of you know tonight that the children's bread, the woman, the Syrophoenician woman, Matthew chapter 15, her daughter had a devil, vexed of a devil. She come to Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. He said, it's not meat for to give the children's bread to the dogs. That's what they were called. She said, yeah, Lord, that even the dog gets a cup from the master's table. Remember over there in Mark chapter 6, at the end of the meal? The Bible says they took up 12 fragments of basket. Full. That represents foundation. Those 12 represents a foundation. This is a foundation feeding the multitude. And that's where we've come from Mark chapter 6 and John chapter 6 tonight. We're feeding, amen, amen, from the fragments. Amen, hallelujah, amen. You know what? He would even give life, and he delivered that Syrophoenician woman of that devil, amen, because of her faith, believing. Why? Because on that night she received the bread of life because she believed in him who she had seen. Come on, church. You need to know tonight, amen. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Tonight, church, every time you break bread, when I opened my Bible tonight, I gave thanks before we got on the air, but when I opened my Bible tonight, the bread was broken. When I gave you that first scripture, when Brother Tony gave the first scripture tonight, when Brother Yearwood gave the first scripture tonight, when Sister Freddy gave the first scripture tonight, bread was already broken. Amen. You might not
Amen.
Know him there, just like the believers in the mess. They were on the road to the mess, and he appeared to them in another form, and they didn't know who it was till he broke bread with them tonight. Church, you don't know who Jesus is until you break bread with him. These people have come, amen, and they might never ever broke bread with Jesus. Some of you underneath my worship, you might be serving other God. And you need to know tonight there is no other God but the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know tonight that there's no other God that will sit down. The table spread tonight. You need to know that all the precious blood, we are all by the Spirit of God sitting at the Lord's table. all by the Spirit of God, sitting at the same table. There's not one of us any bigger or better than any of us. We're all sitting in the table together.
Yes.
We are all communing together. We are one family. We love one another. And it doesn't make any difference what country we come from or what nationality you are. We are what kindred. We need to know that there's one Lord's table that we're sitting in. Every one of us has the opportunity to sit with the Lord and break the bread of life. And you need to know that as often we do this. Every time you break the word of God, do it in remembrance of remembering the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is a New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In other words, there's life in the blood. And this blood of the New Testament, it's a new covenant. When Jesus Christ shed his blood, or Lord shed his blood on Calvary, that was a new covenant. We've got a new promise. It's a new life blood. We have the old covenant, the schoolmaster bringing us to Christ. He was so fulfilled when he hung on the cross and said, it is finished. It's a finished work that we can enter into tonight. That bread is broken tonight, amen, as the bread of life. And amen. And the Bible says, as often we drink or often we eat, well, as often as you eat this, verse 26, bread and drink this cup, you do shed the Lord's death till he comes. In other words, you're doing it in remembrance of memorial to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're remembering his death. It's your memorial. Every time you eat the word of God, every time you break the bread of life, every time you drink of the waters of life freely. Church, you need to know tonight that every time you're doing that, you discern the Lord's body. You are showing his death. It is a memorial and a remembrance of him. Amen. And it just rises up. He comes all alive, all over again. And the Bible says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. In other words, if you haven't come, if you haven't discerned that this is the Lord's body, you can't just, this is not, church, you need to know tonight, communion is breaking the bread of life. Communion is drinking the water of life. It's not something that I know people represent, and I know Christians have this, and there's nothing wrong with it, but that's a type of shadow. When you come and you either drink wine and break bread, or whatever, this is a type of shadow. But you need to know that every time the bread of life is broken, you're having communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, he that eats and drinks no water, he is drinking damnation to himself. Not this turn to his body. For this cause, many are weak, particularly among you, and many sleep. Let me say to you, just tonight, if you think that you're going through the motions and you're just taking a bread and you think it's just ordinary bread, or you come in and you're eating of it unworthily and not discerning that this is the Lord Jesus Christ's body. This bread is bread, the body that will give you life. This drink is the blood of the New Testament that will give you everlasting life tonight, church. And let it happen. All these weeks, I want you to ask me something. The Bible says over in Mark chapter 6 that the disciples themselves had hardened their heart and they did not regard the miracle. You need to know that some of you have been going around. Some of you have been going through the sand. Some of you have been going through just like this ship. Amen. But you need to know that right where you're at in the desert place, in a place that God had performed a miracle to feed the multitudes, the thousands upon thousands upon thousands. Let me ask you something tonight. Have you regarded the miracle of Jesus Christ that's been in your life? Or have you went by and hardened your heart and not knowing that these past few weeks, past few months, even these past few years, that God is doing a miracle in your life, even right now, as I'm speaking, and you haven't regarded it? Will you regard this miracle? Will you accept the bread? Will you accept the water? Will you accept this blood? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ? He is. Will you regard the miracles? Because all around you, all the time, there are miracles. Will you regard the miracle, the greatest miracle, everlasting life? And there's only one that can give you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Brother Boyd.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother John. Appreciate the wonderful word of God there that you brought to us. I'm going to ask Brother Timmy to come around and sing, then we'll get Brother Eddie to come and obey the Lord next there.
Says to him of his clothes, and that's just one of those stories that everybody knows. Oh, I know the facts, but I love to feel what the blood. blind man fell. When his eyes were healed, he went running through the streets to share. Oh, it's the good of him there. When the thousands fed with just his pieces of bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the land that could leave, hear the sun that could speak, and see the multitude of people Jesus blessed. I wish I could have seen the stone that went rolling away when they looked inside the door to where the grave flowed away. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there. He commanded Lazarus to walk right out of his grave, and then the Galilean storm had started coming the way. I want to feel that breeze blowing on my face. I want to know the smell. I want to taste the taste. Just read about it, couldn't compare. I wish I could have been there when the thousands of bears were just a piece of bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the land that you leave, hear the dam that can speak, and see the multitudes of people Jesus blessed. I wish I could have seen the storm that went rolling away, then it left inside the door to where the grave flows play. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there when the thousands were fed with just a fish of bread to see the little boy packing up the rest. I wish I could have been there to see the land that could lead, hear the sound that could speak, and see them all through the people Jesus blessed. I wish I could have seen the storm of wind rolling away when they left inside the door to where the grave won't lay. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really wish I could have been there. I didn't see, but I believe that he ascended in the air, and I really, really wish I could have been there.
Song. I'm going to let Betty read the prayer request, and Brother Eddie, get ready and come on over to the Lord after she reads the prayer request there.
All right.
Be back tonight, and I just thank God for everything that he's done for me. I want to give a praise report. For the last 3 weeks, I've been down in my back, and it got so bad to where I was just screaming, just screaming in pain and everything, and I just want to thank everybody for praying. God's touched me and gave me a miracle on it.
Amen.
We got Brother Bob and Sister Clara Hicks need a miracle in their life. And Kay Hurd, she has leukemia. Remember Tony, Deidre, Faith, Philip, and Purdy, they need salvation. And let's pray for all the listeners that God will supply all their needs. And remember Debbie Samples needs a healing in her foot. And healing for diabetes. And Sister Robin needs a healing. Let's remember Brother Tracy Stuffel, one of the singers from the well-known Perry family. Brother Tracy needs a miracle. He's been in the hospital since January. So let's just touch heaven for this man of God. And remember Keith Green that has cancer. That's one of Clint Green's cousins. And let's remember Sister Joanna tonight. She would like to be here with us, but she had to work tonight late. And let's remember Betty and Stephanie and the Kevin Miller family.
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead there, Brother Eddie, just obey the Lord.
All right. I want to read some out of the sixth chapter of the book of 2 Kings. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, to Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick, and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, Take it up to thee, and put out his hand, and took it. And back here he talked about the sons of the prophets. Brother, there's a spirit today of the spirit of God moves upon people, and brother, they begin to prophesy, and they begin to work in the miracles, and they can prophesy and tell you what God's going to do, just like Tony said. And bless God, it'll bring about miracles, and it'll bring about healing, and it'll bring about deliverances. Brother, I'll tell you today, whenever the Spirit of God begins to move, we can depend on that, and we can receive from God. And there's not a person that I know of tonight that would not like, but what? They wouldn't like to receive something from God. And but here was Elisha. Elisha was a prophet, brother, and a mighty man of God, one of the major prophets in the Word of God. And brother, I'll tell you today, whenever these sons of the prophets, it's in the place where we dwell with thee. It's too straight for us. Honey, the sons of the prophet just couldn't hardly live like Elijah wanted to live, and like Elijah had set his heart to live. They just couldn't hardly. It was too strict for them. It was too close for them to live like that. But, brother, I want you to know, when we begin to get rid of everything out of our lives, and we begin to get the things of God in our life and draw nigh unto God, he said in the book of Peter, he said, Draw nigh unto God, and he'll draw nigh unto you. And brother, whenever that we begin to draw nigh unto God, God will begin to pour his Spirit out on us, and we will begin to closer walk with the Lord and God. Bless God, don't be surprised, but when he don't begin to work through you in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, and brother, when these gifts begin to operate, they'll bring forth the miracles that we're preaching about tonight. And brother, I want you to know tonight that he said that the way is too straight for us. Brother, you know, today a lot of churches are compromising, brother, on the things of God. A lot of churches have quit having church on Sunday night, brother, simply because they don't want to have church any longer on Sunday night. But brother, I want you to know, all when we begin to draw nigh unto God, and we begin to, he said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, and much more so as you see the day approaching. He said to assemble together. He didn't tell us to get out here and get away from the house of God, but he told us to come together. And just like this broadcast tonight, we're having church tonight, and we're assembling together, and the people that's listening to it are assembling together. And he said, well, two or three are gathered together in his name, he'd be in the midst of them. And brother, he said in another place that if two or three would agree touching any one thing, that it would be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. And bless God, when we begin to talk about the moving of the Spirit of God in our life, I remember back in the book of Judges, where God raised judges up and to rule over Israel, or to lead Israel and to deliver them out of their enemies. Bless God, the Spirit of God would come upon them and set them apart, and they would go out and they would deliver the children of Israel out from their enemies. And it's the same today, brother. The Spirit of God will deliver us from our enemies if we'll just look to God, and we'll begin to draw nigh unto God. Oh, listen to me tonight. I want you to know that God has got a place that we can get into. It's a place that is next to him. He said he that trusts in him, he'll hide him under the shadow of the Most High. Bless God, God will take us, brother, and he'll put us in a place where the enemy can't even get close to us. Thank God tonight for that. And brother, I want you to know tonight that God, brother, he has chosen you tonight smile on us and the work in our life. Oh, this Legion, let us go, let us go. We pray thee to Jordan. Somebody wants to go and move away from God and do the wrong thing, God. He'll try to keep them from going. He'll try to keep them out of the things that they want to get into. But, brother, he'll let them go ahead if they are insistent and bound and determined to get into that. He'll let them go. Oh, but let me tell you, these sons of the prophets, they wanted to get away from the man of God. Brother, because they couldn't do just anything they wanted to do. They couldn't do just everything that come in their mind to do, but they had a way. The man of God had a way to live. And we know how to live the life of holiness. And that life of holiness, that means you can't get out here and dibble and dabble in the world. You can't be a partaker of the world and a partaker of God. He said, because you'll love one and you'll hate the other, you'll hold the one and you'll turn the other loose. Brother, I want you to know tonight that God is looking for somebody that'll draw real close to him and that he can show himself to. Brother, the Bible said his eyes search to and fro through the whole earth, seeking someone that he may show himself strong in their behalf. Oh, I'll tell you tonight, these sons of the prophets, they wanted to go the wrong way. And Elijah told them, go ahead and go where you want to go. You know what? God didn't tell me to force anything on anybody, but God told me to be a witness. He said, but after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall receive power, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Judea and Samaria, in Jerusalem, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Brethren, tonight we need witnesses today, and that's what we're doing on this radio broadcast. John was talking about breaking the bread of life. Brethren, we're breaking it and sending it out. Brother, to all that will, Jesus said, all that will, let them come and take of the water of life freely. He that has no money coming by. Brother, I'll tell you today, this thing don't cost a penny. This thing don't cost anything, but it's whosoever will. They can come and take of the water of life freely. Brother, and inside of them, Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria in the fourth chapter of John. He said, if you'd ask of me, I would have given you water that you'd have never thirsted no more. She said, how can you do that when the well is deep? And he said, but you know, he wasn't talking about natural water. He was talking about the water of the Word of God, the water of the Spirit of God, and that would fill up her and satisfy her. Brother, in that place that's empty in her, it would have filled it up. Brother, it's the same tonight about anybody else. He's talking about anybody that will come and, brother, begin to drink of this water and begin to ask him to give them that water. He'll fill them up with the water of God. And bless God, they'll never thirst no more, but they'll be led. Brother, it's like that scripture said, for he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. And brother, I want you to know tonight that whenever you begin to drink of the water of God, brother, you'll begin to be satisfied. Brother, everything else won't be important to you, but you'll begin to want to draw nigh to God. But that man of God told his sons of the prophets, he ain't to go ye. Brother, and they let them go if they wanted to go. But you know what? I believe old Elijah, brother, he would have continued to walk just like he walked. He would have continued to live just like he lived. Listen to me today. When God begins to show you how he wants you to walk, how he wants you to live, brother, you've got the strength to live like that. If the place is straight, if it's a closed place, God will help you to live in that place, and you can live in it, you can walk in it, and you can be satisfied in it. Oh, and each one said, be content, wanted him to go with them because they was going out here. I believe they wanted his approval on what they were doing. Our brother and them were preaching about miracles tonight. Our brother and the Spirit of God that was on Elisha, he was a mighty man of works. Our brother, they was miracles that took place in his ministry. Our brother, he said, I will go. Our brother, I want you to know Jesus said if anybody asks you for something, he said to give it to them. Our brother, I want you to know tonight when we begin to go and yield ourselves and reach out to people. Our brother, not try to force anything on them, but reach out to them, let them know that we're there for them. Bless God that they will begin to receive us and they'll begin to want us to go with them. And he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Brother, they was a building a place to live. But as one was filling a beam, the hatch had fell into the water. And you know, sometimes we'll begin to try to do something. Brother, in what we're trying to do, brother, it just seems like everything just goes wrong. Just like when we lost this axe head here, brother, it fell off into the water. Brother, when everything seems like it's going wrong, brother, no matter what we do, we just won't right itself. But the rest of it, it don't pay us to give up and quit. We have to keep on keeping on. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. You see, he didn't own the axe head. He had borrowed it to use out there in this project that they had going on. Listen to me tonight. I believe God wants us to return. If we borrow something, to return that back. And brother, I'll tell you something, that if we owe brother a debt, he wants us to pay that debt. Brother, and this man had a debt here, and that was the axe head. And the man of God said, we're failing. And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now think about that. Brother, he found out where that axe head went into the water. Brother, and he asked the son of the prophet there where it went in at, and he showed him. And the prophet Elisha cut down the stick, and he cast it in where the axe head fell in, and the axe head come back. I've never in my life heard a piece of iron swimming except in this one place here. And the only iron that I've ever seen float was on a ship. Brother, but I'll tell you what, this is sure as I'm sitting here tonight preaching this message to you, that Brother God brought this thing back up to the top of water. He said that, and he brought it up, and it floated like a piece of wood. There's nothing impossible with God. To him that believeth, all things are possible, he said, to him that believeth. And when we begin to believe God for the impossible, we can see miracles take place. When we can expect God to move in something, we'll see miracles take place. Brother, they ain't one person any God any better than another person. I'm talking about Christians tonight. Brother, whenever we begin to believe God and we begin to expect it to take place, as sure as I'm sitting here tonight, and on the authority of God's word, we can believe for miracles, and we can see God perform miracles, and we can expect God to move in situations, brother, and we can see God move in them situations, just like Betty was talking about, brother, the Lord moving in that nerve in her back, how that God had moved and given her a miracle. Brother, God is just like that. When people begins to pray, he said to ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
To seek and you shall find. To knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For to him that asketh he receiveth, and to him that seeketh he findeth, and to him that knocketh the door shall be opened. Brother, when you pray, keep right on a praying and believing God and expecting it to happen, and God will bring it to pass. Oh, thank God tonight. Bless God because he has sent his word. But thank God also that he sent you want a word to give to an individual, and the next day that word come about. Bless God, that's a miracle from God. And when God begins to move in your situation, he'll move for you and in the same way. If you'll draw nigh to God and yield yourself to God, he may not use you just per se exactly the same, but he'll use you in a way, what I'm trying to say, to minister to people, to lift people up and encourage them. And who knows, bless God, to bring forth a miracle in their life. Elijah was there. This son of the prophet had this axe head barn. Brother in God. But yeah, he had caused that axe head to float after it done went into the water. The water must have been pretty deep because evidently they didn't even try to find it. Maybe they did try to find it and they couldn't find it. But brother, I'll tell you today, whenever we begin to look and do everything that we've done in our own power and we can't get the job done, bless God, we begin to look and we begin to look after it and try everything we know to do and we just can't get it done and we stop and we bow our head or we get down on our knees and we ask God to begin to move in the situation and give us the answer that we need for that, to find that situation and to find what is the answer to that situation. God will give us the answer to that. He'll show us how to go about it. He'll help us to do that. I remember when Nehemiah was down there in Persia, he was a king's cupbearer, and brother, there was a brother that come, a Jewish brother come from Jerusalem, and the news that he gave Nehemiah is like a dagger stuck him in his heart. He began to call out to the Lord. He began to seek after God. He began to fast and to pray. And then one day he went before the king, and the king asked him what the problem was. And he told the king, and the king asked him, well, what do you want me to do? And he told him. He prayed and he asked of God, and God showed him what to do, and he told the king what he needed to do. And bless God, he done that. And then he asked, he told the king that he wanted him to send him back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to build the gates back up because they were broken down. And the king of Persia sent him back and even gave him letters to go out into the woods or go out into the forest and cut trees down for the timber to go into the walls, to go into the gates. Listen tonight, folks. There's nothing impossible with God. If God can make a piece of iron float, brother, God can change somebody's mind. He can change their heart toward you. Oh, listen to me tonight. The Bible says to pray for them that despitefully use you and abuse you, and by doing so, he said, you'll heap fires of coal on their head. Brother, if you're out there and people have been misusing you and you've been being abused by these people, begin to take the time to pray for them. You might say, I will, brother, but I just can't stand what they're doing to me. Brother, when you begin to take the time and you begin to pray for them and you begin to ask God to bless them and help them, bless God, God will begin to move in that behalf, and God will move that situation and he'll change things around. God is able to change the hearts and the lives of people. And I wanted to go on over here until I believe it's the 5th chapter of the book of Acts. And brother, just read just a few verses of scripture and I'll try to get through this and get on and give it back to Brother Hubert. In the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, he said, and it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together to the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake, and a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed, and unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. You see, any time, no matter where you're at, if you've got unbelievers and they just will not have the gospel, they can cause you major problems, and that was what was happening here. And major minds even affected toward the brethren, against the brethren. Verse 3, long time, now listen to this. A long time therefore above a bold day, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. You see, God can use who he wants to bring forth the works, to bring forth the wonders and the signs. Brother, God can use you if you'll just give yourself to him. And on down here in verse 8, it says, and there said a young certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked, and the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, now this was Paul speaking, he said with a loud voice, stand up right on thy feet, and he leaped and walked, and all the people saw what Paul had done, and they lifted up their voice, saying in the speech of the Lyconia, the gods are come down in the likeness of men. Oh, let me tell you tonight, Brother, God can use who he wants to. He said in Ephesians 4, verse 11, and he called some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Honey, there are different callings tonight, Brother, but they all work together to bring about God's will. There are diversities of administrations, and there are diversities of gifts tonight, and God has got these things for you. God has never quit performing miracles, Brother, on the face of the earth, and he'll never quit doing this as long as the church is here. As long as the earth stands, God will work, and God will move. But Brother, this man, stood up, Paul was preaching to him. He was preaching to this group of people, and he saw this man and perceived, he received in his spirit that this man, he knew in himself that this man had faith to be healed, and he told him to get up, and that man got up, and when he did, he leaped and began to walk. Listen to me tonight, folks. God's not done. God's not done. And you might say, somebody told me that God quit doing these things 2,000 years ago. Brother, I'll tell you, there's nowhere in the pages of God's word that I know about that God has ever quit working miracles.
Amen.
Listen, God will work miracles in your life. He'll work miracles in the lives of people. Begin to pray for the people around you. Begin to seek after God and receive the word of God tonight, because God is wanting to bless you, and God is wanting to pour his spirit out in your life and begin to work miracles in your life. God is wanting to show you tonight, brother, whosoever will, he said, let him come. Brother, he's wanting us to come to him and draw nigh to him so he can show himself to us, that he can reveal himself to us, just who he is, how much he cares for us, and really just that. I'm going to turn this back over to Brother Gearwood. Thank you, Brother Gearwood, for this opportunity to be on this broadcast, to be able to preach the word of God, to be able to go out among the people. God bless you tonight is my prayer.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate you, Brother Eddie. Appreciate the wonderful word that you brought to us. 423-337, come in there and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Hey, it's Brother Eddie. First of all, I just listened, enjoying the message. And we're all walking miracles. We're a miracle. It's a miracle that I got up today. Miracle that
Amen.
You got up today. God is good to us. He gives us air to breathe. He gives us sunshine for our health. And whatever we need, he gives it to us. If the whole world could only see that. But the world can't see that. The world's going headlong into destruction. And the Bible says that last days that love wax cold, and you see it. People care more about their dogs than they do you or me. And
Amen.
That's just it. And God said it'd be like that, and it's happened. And the great falling away. But the ones that's in there and ready and waiting and knowing what's happening and who God is, well, we're going to go to heaven one day after a while, and the rest be left behind. Of course, they'll have a chance in the tribulation, but I don't want to stay here in the tribulation. I'm going to be long gone. Like that song, that preacher used to say, zoom, 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 I'm gone. I'm out of here.
And, amen. Bless you, Lord.
I'm not waiting for the day that he comes in that eastern sky. I've been waiting around 50 years since I got saved. And
amen.
I know he's a coming. I know that if I don't go by the rapture, I'll go by the grave. One way or another, I'm going home. This ain't home to me.
Amen.
And we don't want to get too adjusted here. Sometimes
amen.
People get too adjusted. They get a nice home, two cars, and forget about where they come from. You know what
amen.
We got, God give it to us. And
amen.
Yes.
Loaned it to us. I ain't got nothing. I've got a nice home to live in, a nice car to drive. But it ain't mine. If I die tonight, it won't be mine. I can't take it with me. And,
amen.
I've got my treasures up in heaven, and that's where I'm going to head tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to it. And I don't believe it's going to be long, brother. You want to?
No, I don't either, brother.
No, the signs is all pointing to it. And you put 10 preachers on the radio, there'll be 8 of them talking about the end time. It's a feeling
amen.
In the air. You can feel it. It's happening.
Amen.
You know, it's here. And the main thing, be ready. Like that old black preacher said, be ready, be ready, be ready. J.D.J.
Amen.
And we need to be. So
amen.
I'll turn it back over to you, brother. You're what? You
have praise
a good
Lord. Appreciate
this opportunity with me for the Lord and talking about my Jesus. Amen. Pray
amen.
For me and my family. Pray for my buddy. He's starting church now, starting to work, new work, started last Sunday night. And just pray that he wins souls. That's what it's all about, getting people into the family of God for tribulation.
Amen.
All right, brother, you would.
Appreciate you there, brother Bobby. 937, come on and tell us who you are and where you're at.
Yeah, brother, you would. I guess you're probably talking to me.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, this is Brother Green. I haven't been able to listen to your broadcast, but just got in out of the storm and made it back to the house, and it's just good to be on here, but I'll just listen in here, I guess, and see where y'all at tonight. Unless you want me
well,
to say
we're speaking on miracles, so just go ahead and obey the Lord.
Okay, I just thank the Lord for, first of all, for saving me and bringing me out of darkness and translating me into his kingdom and into the kingdom of light. And I know you've been talking about miracles. I didn't get to hear what was said or nothing, but I know God's a miracle worker. He did a miracle on me when he saved me, and he brought
amen.
Me out of sin. I was on that highway, that broad road, you know, that was going to the wrong place, praise God.
Yeah.
But he got me off of that road, and, you know, it took a miracle to get me off of that that highway that I was on. And, you know, the Bible says straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And I'm glad tonight that we're part of those, that number, you know, that found the way. You know, there's an old song, I have found the way, praise God.
Amen.
I'm so glad tonight I have found the way. And, you know, it's up to me now if I want to live this way and if I want to stay in this good old way. And, you know, it's on me. God did his part at Calvary when he sent his son and died on that cross. And he made it available to us that we could have eternal life. And, you know, the door is wide open to us tonight. If you're out there tonight, you're not saved. You know, you're in the same place tonight that I was before I got saved. But I was walking in darkness, and I had no light. And, you know, one day a man come by, you know, and shined the light on me, praise God. And, you know, I had a dream about this man. You know, he was a friend of mine, and we ran around together. We coon hunted together and different things. And You know, we was sinners is what we was. And he was a backslider, but I didn't know it. But I had never been saved. But he got into church one day. A pastor came by his house and knocked on his door, praise God, and invited him and his family to come to church. And they started sending their little girl to church on the church bus. And wasn't very long, his wife began to go, and then he decided, well, he'd go. So he found salvation. He came to my house and wanted me to come and check out the church. And I didn't think I needed the church. As I was so far into sin, you know, when you get in sin, you kind of run from God is what you do. And I was running from God. But, you know, that man held a light for me. Praise God. He was a city set upon a hill. And the Lord said when we get saved, we're supposed to be that city which cannot be hid, set upon a hill. We're supposed to be like that candle on that candlestick. And you don't put it under a bushel, but you put it up on the table. You put it up somewhere where it'll shine the light. And, you know, I had a dream I did about this man. And in this dream, he was holding a big flashlight, and I was following him through a thorny trail up on top of this big high hill. And, you know, I thought back. I used to live there. I knew that hill. And I knew that thorn, all them thorn trees and stuff that went up through there. And fact of the matter was, when I was young, I was running down that trail and stepped on a thorn, went through my shoe and stuck into my foot, and down I went. And I had a terrible time of pulling that thorn out. But, you know, I had a dream quite a few years later, and this man was holding a light. We was walking in darkness, but he had a light. And you know, the Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp under our feet, a light under our path. You know, he led us up on top of this big hill. And you could get up on that hill in the natural, and I knew where it was. And you could get up on that hill, and you could see a long ways because it was the highest place around that area. But I thank God that the Lord has saved us and brought us into a higher place. He seated us together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and I just can't get away. I know there's many miracles in the Bible, but I just kept going back to today thinking about salvation, how great it is when a sinner man or woman or boy or girl or whoever can come out of that darkness. And I remember when I got saved, I remember going to that church, and as soon as the altar call was made, I was out the back door. I was running from God. But one day I decided to go to that altar, and I prayed for probably 2 weeks trying to get saved because I didn't know nothing about salvation, and nobody bothered me. Nobody said, well, quit praying or nothing like that, and I just kept on praying. One day I knew I had touched the Lord. I knew that something had happened to me. Praise God. And, you know, I ain't never been the same, and I don't believe I'll ever be the same, Brother Yearwood. I'll never be the man I used to be. And you know what? I don't want to be the man I used to be. But I'm a brand new creature in Christ Jesus, and old things have passed away. I gave up the stuff I used to do. I don't go to the places I used to go. And I don't talk the way I used to talk. But now I go to different places. I go where God is. I go to the house of God. And I go to a prayer closet. Praise God. Find me an altar, you know. I made me an altar. Put it in my bedroom. I said, I need, you know, my closet wasn't big enough to pray in. I said, well, I'll just build me an altar. And I built me an altar. I read in the Bible where Abraham built altars, and he prayed. And I thought, well, I'll build me one. Praise God. I'm glad I did. Praise God. But if you don't have an altar, you can get on the side of your bed and pray, or kneel down at a couch somewhere, You know, you can make an altar in your car or somewhere. I know the man one time, he'd go to work 2 hours early, and he'd get in his van, and he'd pray till it was time to go into work. You know, he didn't work there too long. He made a lot of waves because he was a fired up preacher, this man was. And they come against him. But the world's going to come against you because you're not of the world, but you're a new creature. And you don't do the things that the world does. And the world looks at you like you've lost it. But you know what? We didn't lose it. We found it. Praise God.
Amen.
And I won't say too much tonight, Brother Yearwood, but it's good to be on here. Maybe I should do the scripture here if we got time. Let me get to the
Lord.
Get my glasses here. I don't know if Jens has already preached this, but this is in Acts chapter 5, starting at verse 12. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, and of the rest durst not no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women. I want you to notice there, and I don't know if anybody preached this tonight or not, but in the 14th verse it says, and believers were the more added to the Lord. It didn't say they just joined the church. You know, it didn't say that. It said they were added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women. I believe it's good, you know, to join the church. But I tell you, you need to be joined to the Lord first. Praise God. And it said here in the 14th verse, multitudes, both of men and women. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Think about that. The Bible said they was healed every one. And there was multitudes of believers added to the church. Now, these people didn't just believe a Lord, Lord, salvation. They didn't just believe, you know, you go down and you pray a 2 or 3 minute prayer and you're okay for eternity. No, I believe these people got down to business, Brother Yearwood. Now,
amen.
I believe they prayed till the glory come down. I believe they prayed till heaven come down in their soul. You know, we got to do that. We got to pray till that healing virtue floods our soul, till we know that we have touched the hem of his garment. Praise God. He's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still got on that healing garment. Praise God. That little woman pressed through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and she said, if I might touch... if I may just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And you know, she touched him, praise God. And he immediately, he said, who touched me? Praise God. Somebody might have preached this tonight. I don't know, but this is what I feel. And you know, we can still touch Jesus. We can still touch him. I believe one of the apostles said, well, Lord, the multitudes are thronging thee and a touching you. What do you mean somebody touched you? But he said, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. Praise God, we need to touch Jesus. If we can get a touch from the Master, if we can get that healing virtue flooding our soul, I tell you, we'll be changed, praise God, and we'll not be the man we used to be. I thought about Saul when he was... getting ready to be the first king of Israel. He went down there to Samuel. And you know, praise God. And Samuel prophesied to him and told him things that was going to happen. And he, when he turned away from Samuel that day to go, he was changed. He had a new heart, praise God. That's what we need, church, the new heart and a new mind. God gave me a brand new mind, a brand new heart the day that he saved me. I'm not the man I used to be, and I don't want to ever go back and be that kind of a man anymore, praise God. But I'm not going to preach very long, Brother Yearwood. I'm going to get off of here, but I tell you, I believe in miracles, and I believe that the days of miracles is not over. And I
Amen.
Believe if we'll get down to business and we'll believe like the Bible says, and I believe if we'll go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, and we'll begin to do the things that Christ told us to do, I believe we can see miracles again. I believe souls
Amen.
Can be changed and bodies can be healed, praise God. I don't think the Lord has lost any power, praise God. He's not gone off on a journey somewhere, but he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So I'm so glad that I'm in the family of God, that I'm joining her with Jesus tonight, praise God. And I just want to thank you for having me on your broadcast, and most of all, I want to thank the Lord for, helping me to preach the gospel and helping me to be what I am today by the grace of God. And now I want to get closer to Jesus. I want more and more of Jesus. But I have to give him more and more of me, praise God. And I believe I'll be changed one day in a twinkling of an eye, praise God. And we can talk about the miracles of God. There's so many, but I just thank God for salvation tonight. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. And I'll turn
Amen.
It back over to you, Brother Yearwood. God bless you all.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate that, Brother Green. Appreciate the wonderful word. You know, tonight we're speaking about miracles. And I tell you, we're going to be reading and taking our text from 1 Kings there in the 17th chapter. But I've got one verse here I want to read and keep this in our mind. You know, praise God. We see here in Psalms 34 and verse 17, it says, "The righteous cried, and the Lord heard and delivered them out of all their troubles." And you know, tonight I'd like for us to think about all of our troubles. God hears and he will answer. He will deliver us out of all of our troubles. Now, if you've turn with us to the First Kings, and verse 7, chapter 17. I'm going to let Betty read this for me. Praise God.
And as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening.
Praise
and he
the Lord.
Drank of the brook.
Hallelujah. Now, we see here that, praise God, he would have been in a lot of trouble if he hadn't. Elijah would have been in a lot of trouble if he hadn't been in contact with God. And, he was a man of the righteous. He was a man, praise God, and knowed who he was talking to and who he trusted. You know, whenever he went there, he prophesied to them that there wouldn't be no dew, no rain, no nothing. Praise God. And, he stayed around there just a little bit too long. But, praise God, God told him, he said, "You go over yonder," and said, "There's going to be a widow woman over there that's going to extend you. She's going to take care of you." Praise God. And, God heard that man's prayer. And the word tells us here, even in Psalms, praise God, in of Psalms 34 and verse 6. It said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, praise God. Just think just for a few minutes. If God hadn't heard Elijah over there, he'd have been in a lot of trouble. But praise God, God heard him, and he sent a raven in there with flesh. Brother Shambach used to say that God sent a raven in there with a Big Mac from Burger King to feed him. I don't know, or from McDonald's. I don't know where that he might have got it, but I do know that God said that I will feed you. And Elijah, he believed God, hallelujah, and he drunk from the brook because God had done told him, hallelujah, that he would drink from the brook. And you know, that's what God is telling us today as if we break this bread alive. As Brother John was saying there a while ago, how we breaking the bread of word to you. We only have one loaf of bread, and I thank God that God had enough there whenever he blessed it there. He had enough to feed that multitude, and he had them two little fish there that fed the multitude. Hallelujah. I believe they was about, he said they set them down there in a company of 50s on the grass, and there were thousands that he fed that day. I praise God tonight. I just thank him, hallelujah. If you want to look at it that way, we're feeding 74,871 people tonight with this one loaf of bread. Hallelujah. I thank God that he is able to feed that many with one loaf of bread. I tell you what we need to know tonight. I praise God that if we'll call upon him, he's able to deliver us out of our troubles, out of all of our sorrows, out of all of our problems that we may have. God is able, my friend, to reach down and deliver us from it. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful tonight that God is reaching out to the people tonight. He's feeding you tonight, my friend. You just need to take this word and eat this word. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'll let her read some more. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Verse 7.
Praise God.
And the word of the Lord came, I get thee to Zarephath. I fell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee.
Hallelujah.
So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he gate, did he? Excuse me. Behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And she, and as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in the cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in, dress it for me and my son, that we may sit and die.
Amen. Praise God. Just thank our now a minute. Praise the Lord that. Praise God. Hallelujah. That Elijah there, he asked that lady for a morsel of bread and a cruse of water. And, you know, she said, I only I have just a handful of meal, just enough. I said, I'm going to fix this, and my son and I are going to eat it, and we're going to die. But she said, nevertheless, man of God, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. That's what we need to realize tonight. Whatever the man of God says, we need to take this word, and we need to realize that he is able, that he will take care of us. He will, if we will cry out to him. He hears our cries. He never turns a deaf ear to us. I praise God. I believe in Isaiah's over there. I believe Isaiah about 61 or 59. One over there says his ears is never too dull to hear. His arm is never too short to reach down to answer our request. My friend, if we will cry out to God, if we are a child of God, and we cry out to him, we know that he's going to hear, and he's going to answer. Let's look into Psalms here, 34 and verse 6. It said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and sent him, he saved him, out of all his troubles. Hallelujah. You know, Elijah there, he'd been talking to the Lord. He cried out to God, and God had heard him. Hey, I believe he was just a poor man up there, realizing that he was in trouble if he didn't hear from God. And he heard from God. He heard God tell him to go over there into that city, and there was going to be a widow woman over there going to take care of him. My friend, today, God may not have a widow woman over there, but he will have your need, whatever that it is, over there, waiting on you, if you will only cry out to him. Look into Psalm 34 and verse 7. It says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord, hallelujah, is camped around about them, hallelujah, of fear of the Lord. My friend, tonight, if we fear God, we got the best help that we can ever have. We got the only one, praise God, that will see us through all of our troubles and all of our sorrows, all of our headaches. I look right here in Psalms 34 and verse 19. It says, praise God. Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord deliver them out of all their troubles. Out of all of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. He deliver us out of all of it. And you know, my friend, our troubles, God is going to deliver us. It says, let me read that again. It says, many of the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of him, out of them all. Hallelujah. You know, the Lord deliver us, and praise God, he delivered Elijah there. Had that widow woman down there, my friend, in order for her to feed him. God had to move for her, and she had to hear the voice of God, and she heard the man of God, and they obeyed. What did God say, my friend? And tonight, if we will hear the voice of God, and we hear what God says to us, he will deliver us. He will take care of us. He will meet every need that we might have. I praise God that God is still a miracle worker. That was a miracle there. I praise God for Elijah. And I tell you what, the same miracles today will be formed for us if we will only heed to what he says. I'm going to let her read some more. Hallelujah.
Verse 13, and Elijah said unto her, not go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail unto the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And
right.
The barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Passed after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. His sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O man of God? O thou man of God, art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode, and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Stretched him the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house, and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is thy mouth is truth.
Amen. Praise God. You know, Elijah there was a man of God. I thank God tonight. If we have really been born again and washed in the blood of Jesus, we've got the same spirit that Elijah had in him. And we can do that, praise God. We ought to be able to prophesy just like Elijah did. If we are the son of God, and we have the same power that God has in him, praise God, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is going to shake these mortal bodies one day, and it's going to rise us up. And as Brother Bobby was speaking about going into the kingdom of God, the Bible said that the dead in Christ shall rise, and them that remaineth shall be changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, forever called up to be with him in the air. Hallelujah. If we are the sons of God, we've got the same spirit that's going to rise us up. If we've not, then we're in trouble, my friend. But I don't care what country, I don't care what nation you're in. All you've got to do is just turn your life over to God. He's able. He's willing. It's not his will that any should perish, but it's his will that everybody come to repentance. It's his will that every one of us kneel. I was telling somebody, I believe it was yesterday, that every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess that he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. My friend, we've all one day after a while are going to have to bow down before God. All these other people that's worshiping all these other strange spirits and strange gods are going to have to kneel down one day after a while. They're going to have to look to the offering of finisher of the same Jesus that I'm going to have to look to. And we've everyone got to give an account for everything that we've done in this walk of life. I praise God that I know, as Brother Green was saying there a while ago, that I know that I've been changed. I've been washed in His blood. I've been a different person since God come into my life, and He changed me. Hallelujah. I praise the Lord for that. I praise God for that. And I tell you, I know that we haven't prayed for the needs yet, but we need to pray for every one of the requests that were turned in. And if there's anybody else got a request, I want to make it known. We'll make it known, and we'll take them before the Lord and believe God to answer them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got a prayer request they want to make known?
Never lost loved one.
Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Brother Yearwood?
Yes.
Keep praying for Keith Green. He's been battling cancer, and I don't think he's saved yet. I ain't heard the word. And our neighbors over here has been having a lot of problems right next door to us, and pray for them. Salvation will come to their house. And there's a lady we met door to door. She's in the fourth stage of cancer, and I don't remember what her name is, but pray for her. She'll, the Lord will touch her body, heal her, but most of all, save her.
Amen.
That's all I have tonight.
Praise the Lord. Praise
Brother
God.
Yearwood?
Yes,
there's a man down here, I can't remember his name, but he's got his feet badly infected, and the doctor said if they don't get better, he may lose his feet, and I'd like to everybody to remember him tonight, that God will touch you and heal his feet.
Amen. Praise God. Anybody else got a prayer request?
Member Kelly, Brother Yearwood.
Remember who, brother?
Kelly, she goes to my church. She's a good Christian lady, but she's got cancer.
Okay. Yeah, we got her. Already got her on the list there, Brother Bobby.
Appreciate right. Okay.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's just all go to the Lord in prayer and just pray and ask God to move up on these requests and to heal every one of them and to save the lost souls, most of all. Father, Lord Jesus, we come in agreement right now, Father.
Father, in the
Lord,
name of Jesus, we pray, Father, tonight, please, it's Lord that has given the request.
Father, we bring them to you, Lord.
Lord, I pray, Father, for the lost, God, that you move, Father, make conviction go out.
Blood, Lord,
let them begin to convict the lost souls, Father, and let them see their need, Father, to come to Christ. And Lord, I pray, Father, tonight, that you would,
Lord,
God, I pray for this kid, that you'd save him, Lord God. God, I pray, God, that you'd save him, Lord, and then God, that you'd heal his cancer, Lord. And I'm asking you tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would just move
and
minister, Father, by your Spirit,
Lord.
Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus, Father, tonight.
Over to you, God, we know that you have all power of the night in heaven and earth. And Lord, we give you the praise and glory and honor, Father, for all, God, in Jesus'
out there that need a touch from
thank
you, God, in the name
thank
of
Jesus.
Thank you,
we thank you, Father. Lord, we just pray, Father, for each and every listener, Lord, that we have out there, God, that's listening. Lord, we pray a special prayer for them. And God, we pray a special prayer, Father, for each and every one that come on here with us tonight. Lord, that you touch them, God, and touch their families. And Lord, just strengthen them, God. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
You, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Sister Rita? Rita? Praise Sister Rita?
I'm here, Brother Yearwood.
Go ahead and, you got anything else you'd like to say or anything?
I want to read some more scripts if I can. I'm coming from Mark 9:39, starting with 39. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For
Amen.
He that is not against us is on our part. And whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever
Amen.
Shall send one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maim than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy
Amen.
Foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their
Amen.
Worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for
Amen.
Thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast in the hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltness, wherewith will you season it? Have salt in yourself and have peace one with another.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Appreciate that.
I appreciate that too. Y'all done good tonight. That was very, I liked everybody heard tonight. Very lifting that everybody's working together to do what the Lord wants them to do.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's one good thing about this radio broadcast. Okay. Brother John?
Yeah.
Come in and tell us where your church is at there.
Main Street here in Denver, Georgia, and we just pray for what he's doing and doing in our church, doing in these broadcasts. And continue before we just thank the Lord for the opportunity to spread the gospel and be a part of this miracle working ministry. Amen. Because just like we just said there that. No one can be like it as doing a miracle in the name of Jesus Christ. And all miracles come from him, and amen. So what he's doing, continue to believe. To the day he comes, he will continue to do the miracles, amen. And we just praise the Lord and that what he's doing in our life. Thank you for answering prayer, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We appreciate that. Brother John was breaking up there just a little bit on the front part of it there. He's down on Main Street there in Thompson, Georgia. So go down there and join him and be with him in his services. So I'm going to let Betty come and make her church announcements here.
We're getting excited about the upcoming revivals that we're going to be having. We're just believing that God's going to save souls and bodies are going to be healed and people's going to be changed by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we're going to be in revival August 8th, 9th, and 10th. 2013. That'll be Thursday through Saturday at 7 p.m. nightly at Zion Tabernacle of Deliverance, located at 103 Gladys Street in Spring Valley, Ohio. And Brother Don and Sister Warnock, Terry Warnock, will be glad to have anybody that wants to come to it. And August 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. We'll be in revival at Harvest Tabernacle, located at 12755 Valley Road in Chillicothe, Ohio, with Brother Mike Millett. And we invite everyone to come out and be a part of it.
Praise the Lord. We've got about 1 minute and something there left, so anybody else got anything they want to say real quick there? Praise the Lord.
Yeah, brother, you were the greatest miracle of somebody being saved.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. That's the greatest miracle we can have. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, we got 51 seconds left, so I'll say bye to everybody, and God bless you, and I appreciate you calling in tonight, being with us. So call in next week. Call in Friday night at 10 until 12 on Brother Green's broadcast there here on Blog Talk Radio. So we'll talk to you later. God bless you. We love you. Bye.
God bless you tonight.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
All of you.
God bless you.
Good night.
Good night.